Okay, good vach, everybody. Good to see everybody. Parshas Vayetze, Taf Shin Pei Beis, is the parsha, of course, of Yaakov Avinu and Yaakov Avinu's escapades, challenges, trials, tribulations, difficulties, and challenges. But Dafka in this parsha with Lavan. Lavan, his father-in-law, tricks him not once, not twice, but upwards of two times, financially, familially. And of course, we know that this is very much representative of the challenges that Yaakov has in his life altogether. Of all of the Avos, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we know Yaakov is the Av, is the one who really suffers most, who has the most difficult, challenging life. And if you look at the life of Yaakov Avinu, not only is it Lavan, who we will discuss in Parshas Vayetze, but previously in Parshas Toldos, and next week in Parshas Vayishlach, it's his brother Esav. Not only is it his father-in-law Lavan, not only is his brother Esav, but his two children who he struggles from the most. Dina, who's abducted, which we will talk about in next week's Parsha, Parshas Vayishlach. And Yosef, who also was lost upwards of 20 years, was missing from him. Vayeshev, Miketz, and Vayigash, and Vayichi. So really, the totality of the life of Yaakov is one of difficulties. It's for that reason that Yaakov is the Av who's misakin Tfilas Mayriv, the evening tefillah, the tefillah of the night, because the nighttime is dark, it's hard, it's difficult, you can't see. And nonetheless, Yaakov Avinu, even during these trials and tribulations that he experiences, the emunasicha balelos, Yaakov Avinu has the ability, the wherewithal, the strength to be able to overcome and to see challenges and to see difficulties and to get through them in the most miraculous and marvelous way. What I'd like to do today is, instead of talking about the life of Yaakov Avinu more broadly, and as we always do, noting the fact that Yaakov Avinu struggled and had challenges in multiple levels and layers, as we just described, let's take a look at the relationships that Yaakov has, specifically with Lavan, and see how he's able to deal with very, very, very significantly difficult challenges. You know, some of the greatest problems and challenges that we have is interacting and communicating with people who give us a hard time. There are a few of those people in our lives, right? Everybody has somebody or people who have challenges with others because people speak to them in a particularly challenging way. Or there are things that happen when people do something wrong, whether it's egregious, whether it's bemazed, beshogeg, whether it's purposefully, or whether it's accidentally. But some of the challenges that we have, which might be our greatest challenges and greatest difficulties, is knowing how to communicate with these people. And knowing how to communicate with people who are easy to get along with and we have a good relationship with, well, that's, you know, a walk in the park. It's very easy. But the challenge is going to be to know how to communicate with people who don't speak to us nicely. People who give us a hard time, whether it's an employee or an employee, whether it's a family member, whether it's a parent or it's a child, whether it's a neighbor or a friend. There are many people who we have difficult, challenging relationships with, but we want to be able to get through those situations and be able to successfully succeed, really, in being able to have a relationship with those people and trying to be able to address them properly, communicate with them properly, and handle those situations properly. So who better, whose life better to look at than Yaakov Avinu, who had enormous challenges, who was really, really put into very, very difficult situations. And let's see him marvelously and amazingly how Yaakov Avinu is able to communicate with a myriad of different people, but specifically in Parshas Vayetze, with Lavan. Lavan not only is his employer, Lavan is his father-in-law. So there are multiple different facets in that relationship that are taking place. Of course, he's married to his daughters. They share grandchildren. They're Yaakov's children, Lavan's grandchildren. So there are multiple different facets and layers of the very, very multifaceted relationship that Yaakov and Lavan have. But to see how exactly Yaakov speaks to Lavan, who's not an easy person to deal with. Lavan, as we will see, tricked Yaakov multiple times. But nonetheless, how Yaakov was able to deal with Lavan in a marvelous way is worthwhile of our attention. But as the Torah opens up in Parshas Vayetze, page 144, in the Arts of Girls, Stone, Chumash Vayetze, Yaakov Mersheva Vayele Charana. Yaakov is headed to Charan. And Yaakov in his travels and his traverses, running away from Esav, who wants his head. Just appreciate for a moment, not only is Yaakov running away from trouble, but he's running to trouble. And the first thing he bumps into, Baruch Hashem, is a wonderful dream. And in the dream, he sees the Sula Mutzav Arza Varosha Magia Hashemayma. He's promised that he's going to have an incredible amount of progeny. V'hoya Zaracha Ke'ofa Arza Faratza Yama V'kerim Tzafon V'negba, north and south, east and west. U'shmarticha B'chol Asher Telech. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch you. V'ashivosich L'adam Azos. I'm going to return you to Eretz Kinan. Kilo Ezavcha Arasharim Asisi Es Asher Dibarti Lach. So on page 146, Yaakov wakes up from his dream and he recognizes that he's been zochet to an incredible prophecy. And Yaakov Avinu is now prepared. He's on his way. He knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his back. And in Pasuk Chaf 20, Vayidor Yaakov Nede Lemor, Yaakov offers a promise. And Yaakov swears and he takes a vow. And what is the vow that he says? Im yelo kimi modi, ushmarani bader chazer shanochi holeich, Yaakov knows that he's headed out on a journey. And he vows and he promises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, if you protect me, if you save me, if you look after me, all I know and all that I want is lechem lechol uvegi livosh. Give me food to eat. I want to be able to be healthy and finding a place to sleep and to be taken care of. So at the outset, Yaakov knows that he's running from trouble and running to trouble. But if he has HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his side, everything will be okay. And of course, that's the first thing we have to know and understand, that every situation that we find ourselves in has been premeditated and has been orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Sefer Chinuch explains that all of the troubles and situations that we have in our life are all sent to us directly from Borei Olam, from Melech Malchi Amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every physical, spiritual, emotional challenge, stress, and difficulty that we bump into, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated, has set it up. Either it's a way to make us bigger and stronger, it's a way to grow, it's a way to become better people, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero. And you see Yaakov at the outset of Parshas Vayetzi understands and knows full well that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan for him. And the plan is that he's going to be able to get through every difficulty, every challenge, every tzara and mitzuka that he's in, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him. And here's the first interesting thing that Yaakov has on his journey. In Perek Chavtes, Pasuk Aleph, chapter 29, verse 1, page 146, the bottom of the page in the art scroll stone, Chumash, Vayisa Yaakov Raglov, Vayelech Arza B'nei Kedem. So Yaakov is on his journey. He's Yetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. He goes from Charan to Beis El. Beis El is also called Luz. And here he is going from Luz and traveling to B'nei Kedem. And what does Yaakov see? Pasuk Beis, Vayar V'hine Ve'er Basadeh. And what does Yaakov see? A well in the field. V'hine sham shloshre edrei tzon rov tzimalei. He sees three flocks that are laying beside it. Why? Ki min ha-be'er ha-hi yashku ha-adarim. It's from this well that the flocks will be watered, that the flocks will have what to drink. The top of page 148, V'ha-even gidola al-pi ha-be'er. The stone that was over the mouth of the well was very large, very heavy. Vinesu shama kol ha'adarim, all the flock assembled there. Vigalulu esa even me'al pi ha'be'er, they would remove or roll the stone from the mouth of the be'er, from the pit, from the well. Vihishku esa tzon, and from there all of the tzon, all of the flock would drink. Vihishivu esa even al pi ha'be'er le'mekom, and after the flock, and after the sheep, and after all of the animals were able to be fed and drunk from the well and had the water to their fill, then they would return the stone on top of the mouth of the be'er of the well. And Yaakov sees the following. Yaakov strikes up what seems to be an innocuous conversation, schmoozing, and says to him, where are you guys from? Where are you shepherds from? And they say that they're from Charan. Vayomer lahem, Yaakov says to them, Hayedatem es Lavan ben Nachor? Do you know Lavan, the son of Nachor? Vayomru yadanu, and they say, yes, we certainly do. Vayomer lahem, hashalom lo, vayomru shalom, b'nei Rachel bito ba ematzon. So almost orchestrated, as we said, the same way that Yitzchak meets Rivka at the Be'er, Yaakov is about to meet Rachel, his future wife, at the Be'er. But look what happens and ensues at this point. It's not just love at first sight, but there is a very, very interesting conversation that takes place, a shocking one at most. Vayomer, Yaakov chastises the shepherds. Hey, Noda Yom Gadol, you know, it's still early. Lo eshe asef ha-mikne. It's not time to bring the flock in. Hashku hatzon l'churu. Go take care of your sheep. Go take care of your flock. Shocking. Yaakov Avinu on his way traveling to marry, looking for the house of Lavan. That's what his father Yitzchak tells him. He's about and knows that there's going to be this woman named Rachel who hopefully he will be able to marry. He sees a very, very complicated thing taking place at the Be'er, at the well, where the shepherds seem to be acting lazy and not feeding and not giving their flock to drink. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi explains, Lefi shiro sam rovtzim. Rashi says that Yaakov saw the flock were simply hanging and were taking it easy by the well. Kasavar shirot sim lesof a mikna habaisa velo yirod. They thought, and Yaakov assumed, that it was time that they were preparing to go home. And Yaakov noticed this, that it was time for them to go home, even though the flock were still sitting around. And Yaakov knew that it was still early enough in the day that it wasn't appropriate for them to go home. Amalhem, Yaakov says to the shepherds, hey, no, yom gavol, it's still early in the day. Klomar, im schire yomatem, if you are hourly paid employees, if you're paid to work a full day's work, lo hishlamtem pulas hayom, you didn't finish your job. Shocking. Yaakov doesn't know who these people are, chastises them at the well, tells them you're not actively employing properly your employer. You're lazy. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. It's early enough in the day. Get back to work. Who is Yaakov to say that? How can he say such a thing? But not only that, look at the response of the shepherds. Vayomru, lo nuchal, we're unable. Ad asher ye'osu kol ha'adarim, we're unable to lift off the large, heavy rock, which was described to us earlier in Pasuk Beis, from the well. And they explain further in the Pasuk. As a result of us being unable to lift off the stone, this heavy rock from the well, v'hishkinu esatzon, we can't do it. And in the midst of this communication and conversation, Pasuk Tes, all of a sudden comes Rachel, Yaakov sees Rachel, and Yaakov in Pasuk Yud lifts off the Evan, the rock from the Be'er, and Yaakov is the successful hero, and he gives the sheep to drink. Rachel sees this, Yaakov and Rachel fall in love, they go back to the house of Lavan, happily ever after, they will be the parents of a very happy family, and they will build Klal Yisrael. But amidst the story, there seems to be a subplot. There seems to be another story that's taking place, which obviously is important, the fact that the Torah articulates it and tells it to us. That Yaakov chastises and speaks to the shepherds, questioning them as to the propriety of their inactivity. They're not fulfilling their employment contract. They're leaving early. They're not supposed to do that. But what's most amazing is the shepherds don't scream back at Yaakov. And they don't say, who are you? Where are you from? What's your name? We never met you. Don't tell us what to do. Who do you think you are? You can't speak to us like that. But they respond to Yaakov. And they're willing to hear Yaakov. And more than that, Yaakov comes to their rescue and helps them and protects them. And he's the one who helps them do their job by revealing the well, by removing the rock, the heavy stone from on top of the well. So what's going on here? How is this communication and how does this conversation, this dialogue go so well and so peacefully? We all know that the challenge, if we're doing a job and we're working, it's not going well and somebody comes from a third party who has no shaychus to the employment arrangement and starts yelling at us and screaming at us and telling us you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Who are you? Don't tell me what to do. And I would yell back at that person. It's not your responsibility. Don't talk to me that way. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky questions, why is it that the shepherds were willing to listen to Yaakov? Why were they willing to hear Yaakov? And why did they actually respond to Yaakov? And why did they tell Yaakov their problem, their complaint? And how is it that this communication goes so well? And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says it's one word. The first thing that Yaakov says to the shepherds, who he meets, Vayomer lehem Yaakov, Yaakov says to them, what's the word that he says to them next? Achai, my brothers. Yaakov diffuses the conversation and the tension by saying, my brothers, my friends, my dear comrades, how can I help you? What can I do? One word can change an entire dialogue, can change an entire communication, can change an entire situation. And Yaakov, by calling them my brothers, or my dear friends, or achai, he makes a connection with them. He doesn't come on to them strong, challenging them, and showing that they're on two sides of a table. But rather, Yaakov speaks to them as a colleague, as a friend, as somebody who's looking out for them, because Yaakov notices that there's a problem. And when you notice there's a problem, there are two ways to approach the problem. You could raise your voice, you could scream, or you could be calm, cool, and collected. You could approach the situation by challenging people, by speaking in a certain undertone, or speaking in a certain powerful way, or expressing certain emotions. But Yaakov is able to successfully get through this situation because of the one word that he uses, achai. Me'ayin atem, my brothers, where are you from? What's your name? Who are you? How can I help you? We're on the same page. We're speaking the same language. We're on the same plane. And thus, the shepherds understand that Yaakov is looking out for their good. He's not a threat. He's not a challenge. He's not a tough boss. He's not a third party. He's coming from nowhere just to start up. But rather, he's looking to help. And when they understand that, when they recognize that, they respond to Yaakov. It looks like this is a gentleman who's coming to help us. And as a result, they respond and they tell Yaakov their struggles and their challenges, that they can't lift up the rock. And when Yaakov understands what's happening and they communicate and they talk and they discuss, Yaakov is able to do that. He picks up the rock off of the be'er, off of the well, and the rest is history. From there comes Rachel. Rachel sees this. Rachel notices Yaakov's incredible sensitivity, his ability to help people who he doesn't know. And that is the beginning of a life of chesed, the beginning of a life of Yaakov and Rachel being able to successfully build a home on Torah and on tefillah and on chesed. But here you see at the outset, Yaakov in a challenging situation is able to diffuse it, is able to deal with it, to manage it, to happen, to express the right words and using the right tone to be able to help people who are in trouble, as opposed to this becoming a contentious relationship and a relationship that's going to be one of raising voices and fighting. It's just the opposite. Achai me'ayin atem, knowing how to speak to somebody else. That's our introduction to Yaakov Avinu, to people who he doesn't know. You could call it, people who are random. And all of a sudden, Yaakov is still able to deal with them in a most appropriate, fine, and appropriate way. But now let's see Yaakov in an even more difficult situation. Yaakov has been promised his loved one's daughter, Rachel, who he meets at the well. And if you take a look on page 150, just a page later in the art scroll stone, Chumash, the Torah tells us, Vayehav Yaakov is Rachel. Yaakov is in love with Rachel. So Lavan, of course, is not so easy. He's not a simple father-in-law. He's not just going to say, yes, you can marry my daughter, but he's going to make Yaakov work. And he's not just going to make Yaakov work, but he's going to really, really make Yaakov work. And what does Lavan tell his future son-in-law, Yaakov? You want my daughter's, Rachel's, hand in marriage? 7 years. That's the deal. He's not going to support him for 7 years, but just the opposite. He's going to make Yaakov work for 7 years in order to have his daughter's, Rachel's, hand in marriage. And Yaakov is willing to go through with the plan. And Pasuk Chav 20, Vayavod Yaakov Rachel Sheva Shonim. Yaakov works for his daughter and his future wife Rachel for 7 years. Vayu Be'enav Kiyamim Achadim Ba'avasa Osa. An amazing 5 words. 7 years can go very quickly, or 7 years can go very slowly. Yaakov could be really upset and really angry. I want to marry this fine young woman. And I know this is why my father Yitzchak sent me here, to marry this woman. You're going to make me work for 7 years. I'm going to fight you on this. But Yaakov is willing to accept it because he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending him on a mission. Vayihu kayamim achadim bavasa osa. They go very quickly. 7 years go very fast because he loves her. You know, there are two ways to look at time. And time is always exactly the same. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every month, every year goes exactly the same speed. But the length or the quickness of the time is dependent upon our outlook. And Yaakov is able to get through 7 very difficult years very quickly because he knows the end game. Be'ahavaso osa. He knows that he's going to build Klal Yisrael. He knows that he's going to build the Shiftei Ka. He knows from him is emerging Klal Yisrael. B'nei Yaakov. And the time goes very quickly. He doesn't fight Lavan on it, but he's willing to go through with it. Not only is Yaakov willing to take this from Lavan, But now it gets even more complicated, even worse, even more detrimental. Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan, hava es ishti ki mala yomai ve'avoi la. Time has come. The 7 years have elapsed. I've worked for you. I've been honest. I've been a perfectly good employee. I'm ready and prepared to marry your daughter. This was the deal we struck. We have a contract. What does Lavan do? Vayesov Lavan es kolan she'emakom yas mishta. Looks like Lavan is going to do the right thing. He makes a big party. It's a chasna the shever brachos. Vahi ba'er vayikach es leya bito vayave oso eila vayavo eileha. It's not Rachel. It's Leah. Leah? Yaakov works for Rachel, not for Leah. Vahi vabo kivina hi Leah. Vayomer Lavan mazos asisali. Halo b'Rachel avarti imach v'lama rimisani. How angry would you be if that happened? And of course, put ourselves in Yaakov's shoes. Yaakov should be bitterly upset. But of course, Yaakov has to respond. You can't be silent. You can't be a shmata. You need to speak up. But look how Yaakov speaks. What did you do to me? Halo b'Rachel levadati mach v'lama rimisani. We had a deal. I worked for Rachel. You know that. Why did you trick me? So Yaakov doesn't act like a shmata. He's not an abuser, and he's not going to be abused by an abuser. But Yaakov speaks up, and Yaakov says, why did you trick me? Lavan responds, Lo yase kembim komein alasei satsir lefnei bechira. Doesn't work like this in my town. I'm the sheriff, and the way it's going to work is the older daughter is going to be married off before the younger daughter. Therefore, moe shivua zos. Fill another 7 years. Work another 7 years, my dear Yaakov. And if you work another 7 years, then you'll have my daughter Leah. Rachel. Now, I don't know about you, but that's inappropriate. That wasn't part of the deal. That wasn't in the contract. They didn't sign on that. That wasn't a contingency in the contract. It didn't say anything about the older daughter before the younger daughter. They made a deal. It was Rachel who he's going to marry and who his hand is going to have in marriage. Yaakov doesn't respond now. Vayaz Yaakov Kane, Vayamale Shavu Zos Vitilos Rachel Bitalo Lisha. Unbelievable. Yaakov doesn't fight Lavan back. He was just sent a difficult elephant, a package that's an impossible. It's an explosion that he was sent. Here's a man who tricked him. He worked hard for him for 7 years. He did everything he was supposed to do. But at the end of the day, Yaakov says, you know what? There's nothing I can do. And sometimes we have to say to ourselves, there's nothing that we can do. This is something we need to accept. Yaakov doesn't fight. He had a response from me. What's his response? Lo yase kem b'mokeni lo se satzir lefnei b'chira. We're not going to give the older daughter marriage before the younger daughter. Now Yaakov says that doesn't make sense. We didn't discuss that. You should have told me that. You could have told me that. Let's go to Beis Din. Let's go to court. Let's ask a third party. I'm going to go back and discuss this with other people. But Yaakov will have none of that. He's not willing to engage, to get involved in a bitter debate. He's not willing to get involved in a discord with who he understands is going to be his future father-in-law. It's not worth it. It's not kedai. Even for another 7 years, it's not kedai. That means postponing and pushing off Klal Yisrael for another 7 years, not to fight with my father-in-law. It's worth it. To have peace, to have no discord. It's kedai to make sure that things are going to be well. So fascinating how Yaakov is able to manage and to persevere to overcome an incredibly unfair deck of cards that he's been dealt. It's not fair. We all see it. It's written large in the Sefer Torah, in the Chumash, in the Parsha. It's nothing to talk about. Yaakov was dealt a difficult deck of cards. He was tricked. Lama rimi sani, why did you trick me? Lama says, I didn't trick you. That's the way it works around here. So Yaakov says, that's the way it works. I'm willing to work another 7 years. What's amazing is not only does Yaakov not get upset, not get angry, not fight, not take him to court, Yaakov and Lavan are still able to deal with each other. But the challenge is going to get greater and greater and greater, because over the next series of years, after finally Lavan is willing to give over Rachel and Leah to Yaakov, it's no sweet living for Yaakov Avinu and his wives. It's not a perfect picture. It's not so easy to live where they're living. Not only is Lavan a challenge familially as a difficult father-in-law, he's a challenge spiritually. He's a challenge physically. He works Yaakov unfairly and too difficultly. He doesn't deal or speak appropriately or properly to Yaakov. And the story continues. Yaakov has his children. He has Rachel and he has Leah. He has Bilhah and he has Zilpah. And the family begins to develop and to grow. And he has 12 children. And Lavan continues to send them deceit after deceit after deceit, as the Torah describes and the Torah tells you. They make deal after deal. And each and every single deal, Lavan breaks. And the amount of flock and the amount of money that Yaakov is supposed to have, Lavan doesn't give him the way that he's supposed to. And the time comes, on page 160, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Yaakov says, enough is enough. I can't go on. Yaakov makes a decision, it's time to flee from Lavan. It's an impossibility. There comes a point in time where I can't just be taken advantage of the way that I'm being taken advantage of. I have a family, I have wives, I have to develop, I have to grow, I have to be out of my own. And Yaakov is told, not only on his own does he make this decision, but if you take a look in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, time to go. What greater promise, what greater guarantee can you have than God telling you to leave? God tells you, leave your in-law's house. You've been given it on a silver platter. Vayar Yaakov, es pnei lovan v'nei enenu imo kitmol shulshom. Yaakov sees that his father is dissatisfied, unhappy. They were able to get along till now, and able to manage, even though they were living with very different philosophies and approaches. But Yaakov now sees that his father-in-law is fit to be tied. He's angry. It's not going to work. Vayomer Hashem el Yaakov. God appears to Yaakov and tells Yaakov, Shuv el Eretz Avosecha. Go back to Canaan. Ulamol Adetech, to your place of origin. Ve'eya imach. Wow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says everything that he needs to hear. God appears to Yaakov, tells Yaakov, Shuv el Eretz Avosecha, go back to Canaan, to the land of your father, Yitzchak, to the land of your grandfather, Avram, to the land of God, to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, and I will be with you. What greater word, what greater comfort, what greater guarantee does Yaakov receive than HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him himself, it's time to go home. But look what Yaakov tells his wives. This is unbelievable. Pasuk Dalet, Perek Lamed Alech, Vayishlach Yaakov Vayikra L'Rachel Ulaleya, Hasad El Tzono. Yaakov calls his wives. He's just been spoken to by God. What do you think he's going to tell Rachel and Leah? He's going to tell them, you know what? Kadosh Baruch Hu just appeared to me. My dear wife Rachel, my dear wife Leah, Bilha, Zilpah, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Huda, all the way down to Yosef, who was just born. It's time to leave. Kadosh Baruch Hu just spoke to me. I'm Yaakov Avinu. I'm the son of Yitzchak, the grandson of Avram. He told me to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer lahen, look what Yaakov tells Rachel and Leah. Roa anochi es b'nei avichen k'neni elayki smol shilshom. I see that your father is not so happy with me. He's upset and he's angry. His face and his countenance is not the way that it has been. Velokei avihaya imodi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. Vatena yedat, and you know, Rachel, you know, Leah. Ki b'kol kochi avadati es avichen. I worked so hard for your father. You know that I really, really worked very hard. You know, at the end of the day, Rachel and Leah, Lavan is their father. So Yaakov has to deal with his wives, who he has a difficult relationship with his father-in-law. He goes, I'm not just running away. I worked so hard for your father-in-law. I worked 7 years for you, Leah. I worked another 7 years for you, Rachel. 14 years, upwards of another 6-7 years did we work hard for your father. I'm working very hard. Tens of times, hundreds of times, your father has changed my wages. Did not allow me to be hurt by him. And the Torah goes on to continue all of the ways that Yaakov Avinu was taken advantage of by his father-in-law. Now let me ask you a question. Why does Yaakov simply not tell Rachel and Leah, Kadosh Baruch Hu just appeared to me and told me to leave? Would that not be the most simple way of addressing the situation? I've been given a promise, a nevuah, haftacha, shmira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go back to Canaan, to the land of Molaretecha v'Avosecha. But he doesn't do that. He starts to explain to them, to discuss with them, to talk to them as to why they should leave. Why does he not simply say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's time to go? Says the Shla HaKadosh, in any relationship you have, any conversation and communication you have, you know what you do to win? You communicate. You discuss. You have a discussion. You could try to convince. You could try to cajole. You could try to communicate. You could try to show your side. but never coerce and never force somebody to your side. Of course, Yaakov could have told Rachel and Leah, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, it's time to leave, we're out of here. Pack your bags, I'll see you outside in 2 minutes. Yaakov recognizes that's not the way to succeed in marriage. It's not the way to succeed with building a family. It's not the way to succeed with building Klal Yisrael. And it's not the way to succeed with an employer, an employee, or any relationship. And thus says the Shla HaKadosh, Yaakov understood that and teaches us, you never coerce anybody into something. You never force anybody to do something because it will only backfire. Even when God speaks to you, never tell your wife, your husband, your spouse, God just came to me and told me, get in the car. God just told me we're going away next Shabbos. It's not going to work. Yaakov doesn't do it even when he was spoken to by God. And says the Torah, and teaching us this lesson from Yaakov Avinu, there has to be a sense of communication, of proper dialogue, of discourse. Because if it's just going to be heavy-handed, it's not going to work. So we see that with Yaakov and the shepherds. We see that with Yaakov in the beginning of his employment contract with Lavan. We see that at the end of his employment contract with Lavan, when life is coming together, and when Yaakov sees himself ready to go, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises him it's time to go. And nonetheless, still Yaakov says, I'm not going to share with you. And he keeps a secret between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's time to leave. He doesn't tell Rachel, he doesn't tell Leah, he doesn't tell the Shvatim, his children. But that's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when I'm dealing with others, when I'm dealing with my wife, it's going to have to be in a different way. But this takes us to the end of the parsha. Because if not only are Rachel and Leah prepared to leave, Yaakov needs to speak to his father-in-law and needs to put in his license to leave. He's prepared. He has to go into the boss and he has to tell the boss, you know, I'm ready to resign. I'm ready to leave. And that's not always such an easy conversation. There's contracts, there's paperwork. You can't just retire 1, 2, 3. You know what it takes to retire? A lot of paperwork. Yaakov tells his father-in-law, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave. It's not going to be so simple because Lavan is not going to let him go so fast because Yaakov has become, allowed Lavan to become very rich and very wealthy as a result. And if you take a look at page 166, Yaakov and Lavan begin to talk. And begin to communicate, begin to dialogue, and begin to discuss how this separation and how this resignation is going to work. And Lavan proposes a treaty. And Lavan proposes a way that they will be able to separate on good terms. But take a look at what happens. Lavan, on the bottom of page 166, tells Yaakov, at the bottom of page 166, tells his father-in-law as follows. Page Pasuk Lamed Ches. Ze Eshim Shana Anochimach. 20 years I've been with you. This is his resignation speech. Rechelecha v'izecha lo shikel ve'leitzoncha lo achalti. I was honest. I was fair. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't take advantage of you or do anything inappropriate. Treifa lo hevesi elecha. Anochi achatena miyadi tevakshena genuvti yom genuvsi laila. Says Yaakov Avinu. I myself would always bear the loss of anything that would take place. Everything I did was appropriate and correct. I didn't do anything wrong. Hayisi b'yom achalni chara v'kerach b'layla v'tidar shnosi me'en. I says, Yaakov, by day I worked in the scorching heat. At night I was cold. I didn't sleep because I worked so hard for you. Zeli esrim shana b'veisecha v'aratich arba esrei shana b'shtei b'nosecha. 14 years I worked for your 2 daughters, Rach and Leah. Shei shana b'tzonech. And after that, when I was married, 6 years I worked for the flock. Vatachlefes maskurti aseres monim. Tens, hundreds of times did you change my wages. Lule Elokei Avi Elokei Avram, Upachar Yitzchak, Hayali, Ki Ata Rekam Shilachtani, only because I had my father, my grandfather, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu with me was I able to succeed. So Yaakov has a very strong resignation speech. He describes, articulates, shares the struggles and the stress and the anxiety, the pressure of the last 20 years. And by the way, these psukim are the source of a halach and chosh and mishpat. The way that an employee needs to work for his employer has to be full-time. You have to really do everything that you're supposed to do. When you're on the job, you work full-time. Full-time you're working. I don't mean full-time versus part-time. My point is you have to work your job the way Yaakov did. And Yaakov's employment is the source of the way that every Jewish employee has to treat his employer, even though it's difficult and it's hard. You have to be an honest employee, work from day till night, and do exactly what you're supposed to do. Yaakov Avinu is the source of that. Even when your boss is a boss, you still have to be able to do and act appropriately. Lavan responds and tells Yaakov, Vayomer Lavan Vayan Lavan Vayomer Yaakov Habanos Benosai Vabinim Banai Vatzon Tzoni Vechol Asher Tarelayu Vlevnosai Maasel Eli Yamal Vnei Masheh Eladu. Lavan says, you, those daughters, they're mine. The tzon, it's mine. You'll have none of it. You worked for me for 20 years. You worked in the frost. You worked in the heat and the scorching hot sun. Meaningless. Those daughters, they belong to me, and the tzon and the riches and everything that you have is mine. Ve'ata, l'cha nichra sabris ani ve'ata. I don't know about you, but after hearing such a thing from one's father-in-law, from Lavan, who tells him, Yaakov, the way that it's supposed to be, Yaakov could respond, say, what are you talking about? God just spoke to me and told me to go back and to take my daughters, to take your daughters, and to take your grandchildren, my children, and you have stolen from me. You've cheated me. You've deceived me. You've acted inappropriately, but he's silent and he's quiet, and Lavan wants to make a treaty. And the treaty goes something like this. Vayikach Yaakov Evan Vayarimea Matseva Vayomer Yaakov L'echav Liktu Avanam Vikhu Avanam Vyasu Gal Vayochu Shamalagal. You know how the resignation works? It's a party. They make a suda. Yaakov and Lavan sit down to eat together, even though Yaakov has been spoken to in the most abusive way. Most amazingly, this treaty has two different names. Lavan gives it one name, Yaakov gives it another name. Lavan is trying to keep and to hold on to Yaakov of making a treaty. That's what a treaty is. A treaty means we're coming together, we're joining forces. Yaakov recognizes that I have to make a treaty, but the treaty that I'm going to make is different than the treaty that Lavan understands is being made. And it's a treaty that's called good fences make good neighbors. It's time for us to leave. And the treaty that I'm going to make is a treaty called separation. You love and think that you're going to come together and we're going to be friends and family forever and forever. You want to call this treaty Yegar Sehadusa? I'm going to call it Gal-Aid. I have a different approach. We can be good neighbors by having fences between our two backyards. Vayomer Lavan Hagal Haze Aid Beni Venecha Yom Alken Karashmo Gal Aid. Lavan calls this treaty Gal Aid because he understands that this is going to be an opportunity and a way for us to continue to get along. Your grandchildren, my grandchildren are your children. Your wives are my daughters. We're going to be able to continue to work well together. Vayomer Lavan Yaakov Hine Hagal Hazeh Vine Matzev Asherisi Beni Veinecha Eid Hagal Hazeh Eid Matzev Imani Lover Lechas Hagal Hazeh V'Matal Lo Savor Elias Hagal Hazeh V'Sa Matzev Azos L'Ra. This treaty is going to be what guarantees our success, our continuity, our future. We're family, father-in-law and son-in-law, daughters, children, grandchildren. We're all going to be getting, we're able to get along. And then Lavan swears in the name of Nachor, but Yaakov doesn't. Vayishava Yaakov bepachad aviv Yitzchak. Yaakov says, you want me to connect back to Nachor? I'll have none of that. I'll swear in the name of my father Yitzchak. It's not going to be a treaty the way you see it, as continuity, as future, as family, as unity, as brotherhood. The treaty that I am establishing, the accord that we are setting up, is that I am separating from you. And we're going to go on good terms. And the good terms means good fences make good neighbors. There's not going to be that ability just to get along anymore. We could separate peacefully, carefully. There's not going to be a fight. There's not going to be a tirade. There's not going to be a screaming match when I leave your office. I'm telling you that I'm leaving and I'm taking your daughters and your grandchildren and they're mine. You're swearing in the name of Nachor, I'm swearing in the name of Yitzchak. It's not going to work. Vayizbach Yaakov zevach bahar, vayikur le'echov le'echol lochem, vayochul lechem v'alinu bahar. Yaakov makes a zevach. A zevach is shchita. Shchita is what separates us from everybody else. We're unique, we're different. This is the building blocks of Klal Yisrael, Yaakov says. We're different, we're unique. The license is going to be a separation. And I'm getting on my camels and my donkeys and my horse, and we're skipping town, we're leaving. I'm not going to yell, I'm not going to scream, I'm not going to tell you that you wronged me, and I'm not going to hold it against you. I've said what I said. You heard my point and I've made it. You've made your point and I've heard it. It's time to move on. And of course, that's what happens. Lavan wakes up the next morning. Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph. Vayinashik Lavan Avlevnos Avivarchasem. He kisses his daughters and his children. Yaakov Halach Ledarko. Yaakov goes on his path. Vayivkubo Malach Elokim. And the Malachim are able to successfully connect with Yaakov. And after 20 years of horror, of challenge, of anxiety, of pressure, of being abused physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Yaakov Avinu is able to split and to part ways from his father-in-law without raising his voice, without a challenge, because Yaakov knows how to deal with adversity. He knows how to deal and to use his tongue and his mouth and his lips properly to communicate with others, even when they wrong him. And he does it every step of the way with Lavan. He does it every step of the way in his communications with Lavan. He knows how to speak. He's not just a shmata. He speaks very strongly and very powerfully. He makes his points clear. He's not going to be abused. And when it's time to go, he does go. But he knows how to deal with Lavan. Why not to get upset? Because he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set everything up the way that it's supposed to be. And this is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be. But I know how to talk to my father-in-law. And I know how to talk to my wife's father. And I know how to talk to my children's grandfather. Because if this is going to work, I need to know how to talk to people, to deal with people. And Yaakov shows it from the outset, at the beginning of the parasha, when he deals with the Roeh Tzon, who he doesn't even know when he says, Achai. He doesn't get upset after Lavan tricks him. He says his peace, even though he didn't receive Rachel, and he only marries Leah. But Yaakov is willing to speak very strongly, very powerfully. And of course, this is a very, very critical understanding of Yaakov Avinu, who he was, but even more so, the reason that the Torah goes to such great lengths, an entire parsha, to go through every single detail in this relationship, is to teach us how to deal with shysters, how to deal with difficult people, how to deal with people who don't speak to us appropriately, who take advantage of us. Yes, you have to have a backbone, but you have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated everything, and to know how to communicate and to deal with this person or this individual. And Yaakov, of course, learns from the greatest. He learns from his father Yitzchak. Because the parasha has told us, when Yitzchak knows that he has a son called Esav, how does he deal with his son Esav? He knows how to speak to him and to deal with him on his terms. He knows that Esav is an ish tzayid, ish sadeh. He understands that Esav doesn't live the life of Yaakov and Esav doesn't live the life of Yitzchak. Yitzchak lives an idyllic spiritual life. He's the Ola Tamima. His son Yaakov and his the Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. Yitzchak and Yaakov speak to each other the same language. There's this brother called Esav who's different. How do I speak to a son who's different? How am I going to be able to hold on to him and to keep him? I tell him, go make me a good meal. Go to the field and shecht for me a piece of lamb. Go find me a piece of meat, because that's what speaks to you. And I know and I understand you, and I understand how I have to talk to you. If a relationship is going to be developed, it has to be developed where that person is. And Yaakov Yitzchak understands that his son, Esav, is not where he is. But I have to talk to him where he is, not where I am, because that's the way that I could hold on to him. That's the way that I could have a relationship with him. And that's the way that we could build and to grow. So Yaakov sees the way that his father deals with his difficult brother Esav. He tries to hold on to him, to secure him, to speak to him where he is as a hunter and a gatherer and as a warrior, not as the Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. And Yaakov watches how Yitzchak has and develops this relationship with his brother Esav, and therefore Yaakov is able also to try to have and develop a relationship with his brother Esav. And only next week in Parshas Vayishlach, where we see that Yaakov does the same exact thing, the same way that he divorces himself from Lavan, he also divorces himself from his brother Esav. But again, not with raised voices, not with anger, and not a intense, complicated, difficult dialogue, but just the opposite. Yaakov tells Esav, you're going to go to Har Seir. I'm going to go to Sukkos. We're going to take two different paths. Again, just like Yaakov and Lavan, divorce. And because good Fences make good neighbors. You go your way, my dear father-in-law love, and I'm going to go my way. Yaakov does the same exact thing with Esav in next week's parsha. One goes to Har Seir, that's called Esav. Yaakov nasa l'sukosa. Yaakov goes to Sukkos. Yaakov understands how to deal with people. He understands how to deal with challenges, with trials and tribulations. And not only philosophically, not only in a ruchniyistika level, because he appreciates and understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set this all up for him to grow, to develop, and to become the person that he can become, but because Yaakov understands how to deal with difficult people. And Yaakov grows from his relationships with his difficult brother Esav and his difficult father-in-law Laban, and that's what's going to allow him to become the Yaakov Avinu, the fourth rung in the chair and the Merkava. The Shlosha Sa'avos, Yaakov Avinu is able to manage, to be able to become Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, and Elokei Yaakov, because Yaakov has perfected himself, both in the level of Ben Adam Lamakom and the level of Ben Adam Lachavero. Yaakov has no enemies. He has a lot of very difficult people in his life. But even Esav, even Lavan, or even them, they can't have a tain on Yaakov Avinu. They do. But Yaakov acts with perfection, with calm, with tranquility, with complete equilibrium, being able to deal with these difficult people. And thus the Torah stresses in Parshas Vayetze, in Parshas Toldos, in Parshas Vayishlach, because Yaakov Avinu's life speaks to us more than anybody else, more than Avram, more than Yitzchak. It's Yaakov Avinu who lives and deals with trial after trial, tribulation after tribulation, challenge after challenge, discord, complications, familially, spiritually, emotionally, physically, attack after attack, trick after trick, challenge after challenge. It's the night, it's the diaspora, it's the gullus, it's Yaakov Avinu, it's Mariv. And therefore, from Yaakov Avinu, we are able to learn how to live our lives, appreciating and understanding that everything that happens to us is for a reason, learning and appreciating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has orchestrated and set up, and understanding how to deal with those people who deal us inappropriately and wrongly. Bezes Hashem, we should be zocha to learn from the life of Yaakov Avinu to become stronger, better people, even in the face of difficulties and struggles and stress. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.